Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you this day. And I just want to share a Bible reading with you. In fact, there's two Bible readings. And having been asked to speak this morning, I certainly was seeking the Lord for a word and to know what the Word of God is to our hearts for today. And as I was considering the events that have been unfolding all around us, I'm thinking of the many homes that have been plunged into bereavement and great sorrow. The words of a lovely hymn came to my mind just the other morning as I lay in my bed. And those words were, "My times are in thy hands." I think they're lovely words. And I know it's a hymn, and knowing that, I knew that that hymn might have been based on a portion of Scripture, a phrase from the Word of God. And therefore, I want you to turn to the Psalm number 31. And we'll find it there in our Bible reading this morning. Psalm number 31, and the verse 1 says these words, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to hear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my rock, my strong rock, from house of defence to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities. But I trust in the Lord. I will be afraid and rejoice in thy mercy. For I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. For thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. And hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. For I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hands. The other portion I would like to read from is the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And this is a tremendous chapter which we want to take a look at this morning. And I want just to share some thoughts with you and leave them with you. And I want to read again from the verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. In this, Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. With our Bibles just open on our laps, let us just bow in a word of prayer and let us ask God to bless the public reading of his own precious truth to our hearts this morning. Our loving Father in heaven, we bow humbly at thy throne of mercy just now. And we do so in thy beautiful name. We thank thee for this Psalm number 31. And for this phrase that has been a challenge, not only to the heart and life and times of David in his day, but even to our hearts, even in this day in which we're living. We thank thee that we can say like David of old, "My times are in thy hands." And Father, I pray as we look at this passage today, that thou would be pleased to open up thy word to us, that thou might minister to the needs of our hearts, and that we might know thy grace to help in the preaching and in the listening to the proclamation of thy word, and that glory and honor may be brought to no one save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For it is in his lovely name we pray. Amen. As I thought about this phrase in the hymn, I began to look up that portion of Scripture, "My times are in thy hands." That's the reason why I read it today. Psalm number 31, especially just that wee phrase there in the verse 15. Though the Psalm 31 is based around the life of David's experience, I want simply to lift out this phrase, "My times are in thy hands." And what I want to do this morning is apply these words to the life of Daniel, especially in this chapter 6 that we have read together this morning. It's a very well-known story. It's a very well-known passage of the Word of God. But it's one that thrills my heart nonetheless, no matter when I hear it or when I read it. I have no doubt that there are verses here in Psalm 31 which are very applicable to the circumstances that Daniel faced in his life. And we can take courage even this morning from this text that not only did David and Daniel take courage from these words, and that their times were in the Lord's hands, But you and I this morning can do likewise, even in this day and generation in which we're living. As we go through the first six books of the book of Daniel, there are some tremendous lessons for us to learn in the first chapter. That first chapter informs us of the captivity of the children of Israel. And though Daniel and his friends were taken captive at this time and brought into a godless land, yet in the verse 8 of chapter 1 we discover there, it tells us, it informs us, how Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. It was important for Daniel that though he was held captive in a strange land, against his will, yet it was important for him that he would still have this walk with God. In the second chapter, of course, in that second chapter, it lets us know of the danger that Daniel and his three friends faced. They faced the danger of death. It came about simply because the king had a dream and he was troubled about this dream. And the problem was that he couldn't remember what the dream was. And when he asked those boys to come in and to interpret the dream, they were unable to do so, and he was enraged because no one could help him, and therefore he gave the command to Arioch to go out and to kill the wise men. And we discover there in chapter 2 that that is exactly what he did. And he made his journey out and at the command of God, and he eventually came. It says there in the verse 12, "For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon." Verse 13 of chapter 2. "And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And what did they do? Watch it. They sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain." They were in danger of chapter 2 of losing their lives. But when we get to chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch and the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And verse 16 says of chapter 2, "Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation." And what did he want time to do? Well, he wanted time to pray. He wanted time to seek the Lord on the matter. And verse 17 and 18 tells us that. "Then Daniel went to his house." There was no meeting places. You and I at this point of time have to meet at home. And that's exactly where Daniel met. And he met with his friends and he met with the Lord. And Daniel went to his house. And what did he do? He made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, the God of heaven, concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. And of course, as you go on to read down that chapter, you will discover that God revealed the secret of Nebuchadnezzar's prayer, or Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And they were spurred. But what you learn about Daniel is this. In chapter 1, he was a man who sought to walk with God. What you learn in chapter 2, he was a man and his friends were men who wanted to talk with God. When you go into chapter 3, of course, it deals with that situation where these boys had to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace because of their stand for God. When you go into chapter 4, you discover where Daniel once again was confronted with a dream concerning what would become of Nebuchadnezzar, who ended up like a wild beast in the fields. A man who had been full of pride had to be humbled in order that he might turn to God. In Daniel chapter 5, Daniel relates the meaning of the writing of the wall to Belshazzar, that king who came after Nebuchadnezzar, that king who done that which was wrong in God's sight, and at that party on that night, God by his hand wrote on the wall. And fear gripped the heart of Belshazzar. And the interpretation of the writing on the wall was the slaying of the life of Belshazzar. He was slain that very night. He was found wanting. But when we come to chapter 6, when we come to this sixth chapter, this sixth chapter that we want to look at this morning, we discover that Daniel has now been here for some 70 years. He's now in his late 80s. And yet throughout all those years, and throughout all the circumstances in life, Daniel was aware of this great truth in his life. My times are in thy hands. I want us to take a look here at what occurs in chapter 6. There are four things that I want to look at, and I know I'm not going to get them finished this morning, but nonetheless, we'll look at a couple of them anyway. The first thing I want to look at is the dilemma that Daniel faced. The second thing I want to look at is the decision that Daniel made. I mentioned there that Belshazzar, that same night of the party, verse 30 of chapter 5 says these words, "And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old." And when you go into chapter 6 and verse 1, you'll discover that Darius is set about setting up a government to rule the kingdom. It says there it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. This is absolutely fascinating. Because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Keep in mind, he's an old man. Keep in mind now, for over 70 years he's been in Babylon. He's in his late 80s. And he's still walking with God. And he's still talking with God. And his life is being effective for God. For people see something in his life that shows to them that he's different. Dear friend, he's really an example to us all. Though we were in the world, we're not of the world. And the Bible would ask us to be different. Paul said these words in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And verse 2, he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Daniel was living this out. And to our amazement, as Darius began to set up his new government, we can see him picking out this old man. This old man who seems to have made an imprint upon his mind. And the Bible tells us that the king thought. He thought to set him over the whole realm. This, of course, was going to bring about a dilemma for Daniel. And the dilemma was because of jealousy. For we see that these 120, as well as the three presidents, well, they didn't like the thought of Daniel having first place. So therefore, we can see the reaction in verse 4. It says, "And the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion or fault for as much as Daniel was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him." What a testimony we have here in this verse concerning the godliness of Daniel. What a testimony we have in this verse concerning the holiness of Daniel. As these boys looked upon his everyday dealings in his workplace and with other individuals, as these presidents and princes, and you'll notice the word, they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. I want to tell you, they looked long and they looked hard in order that they might find a fault in him, in order that they might have him removed from that position. But my Bible tells me they could find none occasion or fault. Why? Because he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Though they couldn't find any fault nor error in him in his everyday dealings with the government affairs, yet they recognized something about him. They recognized he was different. They observed him every day now as they watched him, and they noticed that on three occasions throughout the day, he would have made his way from the work office to the place, to his home in order to the place of prayer where he would meet with the Lord. Recognized he was a godly man, one that walked with God. And they observed that he certainly was a faithful man, one who talked with God. And these men thought, well, how are we going to get rid of him? Verse 5, then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." You see, that was the motivation of his life. That was the motivation of his character. And we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. For the glory he shines on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. That was the motivation of his life. When these boys said, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then they decided that they would put a plan together, verse 6. And we can see that plan which was done behind the back of Daniel, where they met in secret. And these presidents, verse 6 says, "And these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and the king said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever." All the presidents, that's a lie. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. It was a lie. They were making out now before Daniel, or before Darius, that Daniel was in on it. That he was part of this decree. But little did Darius know, and little did Daniel know, that this which was been put on paper was against him. Therefore, when they went to Darius, and they brought their decree to him, they asked him, verse 8, "Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. It sounded good to Darius. that was lovely to his ears. To think that he would be treated as a god. And behind his back, and behind Daniel's back, this plot was put together in order to have him assassinated, to have him put to death and fed to the lions. That if anyone shall ask a petition of any god or man for a month, 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And Darius listened to what they had offered to him. And it sounded good to him. Therefore we see that Darius signed the writing. And he signed the decree. And what he simply did was this. He signed the death warrant of a godly man. A man called Daniel. That is the dilemma that Daniel faced. There is no doubt he would soon hear the news. There is no doubt that he would soon be aware of the consequences of anyone found praying to any god or man for a month, except to the king, would be dealt with severely and put into a den of lions. Therefore, secondly, we want to take a look at the decision that Daniel made. And what a decision it was. It wasn't an easy decision. I often wonder what way I would have responded. I wonder how you would have responded. After all, he's just a man like you and I. How did he respond? Well, I think the next two verses are lovely. For in response to the decree that went out, we can see the decision that Daniel made. And verse 10 goes on to say, now when Daniel knew, he knew the consequences. He knew that the writing was signed. He was aware it had been signed according to the law of the Medes and Persians. He was aware that this law, this decree that was signed according to the law of the Medes and Persians couldn't be altered. Couldn't be changed. And therefore, what a decision he made. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what did he do? Well, he carried on as normal. And the Bible says he went into his house. You're at home this morning. You're in your own home. Around the Word of God. In the presence of the God of the Word. And though we are not able to meet one with the other in the building here, though we have been isolated one from the other, isn't it lovely to know that the Lord's always there? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. I have no doubt that these boys were watching him that day. I have no doubt that these boys were observing of what he would do and how he would react. You can see them watching him as he leaves his workplace. I can see them watching him as he makes his way down the street. I can see them watching him as he makes his way into his home. I have no doubts they're there in the window, at the open window as he prays. For he went to his house. The Bible says his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. You see, this was an act of faith. We can see here the faith that Daniel exercised. Beyond the distant horizon lay the city of his fathers, the city of his God. And faith burned as a light within his soul. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob was his God and our God. The old city was his real home. And someday his faith would be vindicated. And the nation would go back to Jerusalem. And that was the longing of his heart. That was the desire of his soul. And what an act of faith Daniel exercised here as he knelt at the open windows towards Jerusalem. Something else we see here. Not only that Daniel went home, his windows being opened in his chamber. I just mentioned something about that. He never opened them. They were already opened. There might have been the temptation to shut them, but he wouldn't shut them. I often wonder why. We get back to our wee text. My times are in thy hands. Dear friend, this morning, no matter what we have to face, or no matter what we have to confront, I pray that you'll take this wee text to heart, and that the Spirit of God Himself, wherever you are, might write this truth upon your soul. And just as Daniel and David of old, thank God today we can also say that my times are in thy hands. So he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem. I want you to see this old man, 86 odd years of age, kneeled upon his knees. Can you see him? And he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. And he prayed. And he gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. I want to tell you, this was a practice all his life. He knew that in and through the Lord, he lived and he moved and he had his very being. And that without the Lord, he could do absolutely nothing. And on this day, as the decrees went out, Daniel carried on as usual. He went to his house, his windows being open towards Jerusalem. This old man got down on his knees in humility. And he prayed. I often wonder what he prayed. I maybe think that this day was maybe a wee bit different than other days in his talk with God. Maybe there was fear in his heart. Because of the troubles that surrounded him. Psalm 86 verse 7 says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. In Psalm 56 verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And I personally believe that is exactly what Daniel was doing. In the midst of his fear, he was trusting in the Lord. In the midst of his trouble, he was bringing his burden to the Lord. While this old man was on his knees, then the men, the boys who had come, brought together the decree before Darius. It says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. What a man he was. Fearless, faithful. What an example he is to us all. You see, Daniel knew the secret. My times are in thy hands. And maybe like Daniel, in all his fear, and in the midst of all his trouble, we too can be like him. And while we are afraid, let us do as the psalmist said, trust in the Lord. While we're in the day of trouble, let us do as Daniel did, call upon the name of the Lord, recognizing that my times are in thy hands. I think that wee hymn is lovely, that I came across just at the commencement of picking up this wee phrase, and how true they are. My times are in thy hands. My God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul I leave entirely to thy care. My times are in thy hand. Whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. May God bless these thoughts to your heart today and write his word upon all of our hearts. Father in heaven, we bow humbly before thy throne of mercy. We thank thee that we meet around the same throne that Daniel met around those years ago. And we thank thee, Lord, that even in this day of trouble, we can call upon thee, we can bring our fears and our worries to thee, casting all our cares upon him, for we know that he cares for us. Lord, help us in these days, we pray. Bless this passage to our heart, and may we learn what it is in times of trouble to put our trust in thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.